The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 25, beginning at verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all the peoples, the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God, we have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Easter morning, the ladies of Jesus' entourage, they arrive at the tomb. But along the way, because obviously the journey was a little bit long, and as they were walking, they were asking one another, "Well, who's going to roll away the stone? You know, we can't do that ourselves. Who's going to do that for us?" And they still kept walking, though, going to the tomb. They didn't send any of them back to go find somebody. They didn't have a pocket phone that they could dial somebody. You know, they just had faith that somehow it would work out, that somehow, some way, that they were going to be able to do for the Lord what they wanted to do. They wanted to take care of Jesus' body. for in haste he was put in the tomb, and they wanted to make sure now, on that morning so early, that they treated his body and that they did what they would do for anyone who was beloved. And so they continue talking as they travel, and as they gather to the tomb, they're amazed. Well, who knew that we needed that rock turned away? Who knew that? You know, isn't that neat how God just arranged a coincidence, right? I mean, a coincidence of all coincidences that we needed the stone moved, and lo and behold, it is. And so they continue getting closer to the tomb, and then they see, as they are about to enter, this man in a white robe. And they're like going, wait now, why is he sitting in there so quietly? Is he about to do something to us? You know, isn't that what ladies of this day and age might think, right? You know, we're not carrying pocketbooks with us. We've got other things on our mind. And, you know, we're a little bit past the age of people thinking us as maidens. But yet, there's this man there, and they're startled by that. You know, they don't associate the stone being moved with the man in white. But when that man in white speaks, they hear. They hear something that is beyond their comprehension. It's a miracle of miracles that they never even had anticipated. Now, granted, they had all heard and knew that Jesus said he was going to Jerusalem to die, and 3 days later, he would be raised. And yet, they remembered the first part, but did not remember the last part. So you and I today, we're reminded too. We're reminded that yes, Jesus died for our sins. He took on the punishment that we deserved, the consequence. God's justice came and smote him. He was smitten, stricken, and afflicted for us. But whoa, look at what this day has brought. It's a new day, and as those women gather there, they hear the news that they had forgotten. The news that was so important. The promise that Jesus would rise again. And all of a sudden, that angelic man in a white robe provides for them the truth. The truth that they had known but conveniently forgotten. The truth that would set them free from their gloom and doom of that day. The truth that would make what they were there to do no longer necessary. You know, they might have plotted out their day. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to wrap it. We're going to rewrap. We're going to make everything tidy. Because, you know, those men, they don't know what they're doing in this thing. And now, they don't need to do it. Because Jesus has risen. And just let the amazement come upon you this day. That Jesus is able and, in fact, promised that he would do this. So, why are we so darn surprised every Easter? I mean, every Good Friday, we cry and we're moaning and groaning and we are so sad because even we God's people sometimes forget the promise that comes later. The promise that God has for us. That this life, even if we are to die, God has another ending in mind. And not just in mind, but promised to all who believe in his name. That just as Jesus rose from the dead to the glory of the Father, so that we too, those women, us, all those who trust in the resurrection, will have. That we will have that newness of life that lasts forever. Amen. Yeah, I mean, that's something to trumpet. I mean, that's something to sing out in your loudest voice, making that joyful noise. Because we all know when we sing in a loud voice, we lose our tone. But yet, those women, as recounted by St. Mark, bewildered, overwhelmed. The truth is just too good to be true. So they go and ponder it. They go away concerned. They go away not able to do what they came to do and not knowing what to make of that. Aren't we glad we're not those women that day? Because God has told us what this meant. That God has provided one who would taste of death for us and be raised again, and that he would be the firstborn from the dead. And you know, when you say firstborn, that normally means there's others to be born. Guess what? That's you and I. We're those that follow Jesus. And now, granted, in our baptism, we were put to death so that also we would be raised with Christ. And Christ does not desert his people. Notice, you know, the angel directed the ladies to, you know, he's going to go where he promised that he would go. You will find him where he said he will be. He will be there. So what does Jesus tell us today? I mean, he hasn't given us, you know, a GPS to find him. It's not like we locate him on a map. But rather, he has given us his word. His holy word, which shares with us that promise of new life. That promise that God is with us. And if God is with us, who can stand against us? Yeah, some of you are a little quiet this morning. You see, God is always ready. He is always ready for his people. He is always where he promises to be. When Jesus says, come to the baptismal water, I'll make you my child, he's there. When God says, open up my holy word, he's there. When he says, this is my body, this is my blood, he's there. And guess what? He is where he always promises to be. So may you and I marvel at this empty tomb, because God has done a wondrous thing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. It's marvelous that we don't have to do anything to have eternal life, because Jesus did it for us. It's amazing to us that all our sins, our regrets, our guilt heaped on Jesus, he carries it for us. And when things aren't going right in this world, when, golly gee, no one has moved the stone in our lives, we can go to him in prayer. And he hears us and answers us. Sounds to me like a God who is awake, alert, and alive. And that's what we rejoice in today. Sins forgiven, life everlasting, the devil kicked on down. Because God is victorious. The Lamb has won. And we get to be at his feast. So people of God, you are Easter people. God moved the stone away for you so you could see. You could see the truth that God has done all these things for you. And we're not empty. We're full of his blessings. So may you and I, as Easter people, always have alleluias on our lips. Always be ready to share into this void of a world the truth of Jesus. The truth of his death and resurrection, that Jesus keeps his promises, and he keeps his promises to you and I as well. May we hold that fast. Amen.